Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Jason Brewer, who's a multi-director amongst junior mining stocks on the London market. How are you today, Jason?
I'm good, Zach. It's great to be in London.
Right, I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. You've got various companies that you're on the board of, and you're running around trying to get them going. But what's your favourite child amongst your little brood of companies?
Oh, look, they're all my favourite children. You can't come up with a favourite, otherwise I'll get absolutely smashed by shareholders of the other companies. But no, they're all making great strides, moving forward. Both Marula, obviously, Neo, with some great transactions recently. And I'm over in Dublin at the general meeting for Unicorn tomorrow. So a lot of news to flow from that.
So those are the ones particularly in focus. Obviously, Neo had a bit of a share price run, which we need in this sort of market. Maybe you can explain the background to that rise and what the company's doing at the moment.
Sure. Look, Neo is that uranium company that was listed just over a year ago and focused on South Africa. We've got one project there, the Henkries project, a former Anglo-American project. But the thing which really got the market excited about a month or so ago was when we announced the acquisition of the Basa South and Basa North projects, which together have over 90 million pounds of uranium resources and 4.2 million ounces of gold. So a very significant increase in our resources, but importantly located in the heart of South Africa's uranium and gold mining center. So that really got people excited. But to be honest, that's the first of three transactions we're in the process of closing. So lots of news to follow on Neo.
And obviously there's always the F word, which is in this case is funding. How is Neo coping with that?
Yeah, look, this market, everybody's talking about funding. Where's it coming from? How are you going to do it? Because as you've seen, and as we just talked about, Zach, there's not too much liquidity in the market. And with a lot of news coming out in regards to the budget and everything, investors are a bit gun shy. But look, we secured when we listed funding through a very strategic partner, Quinton Vandenberg's fund out of Dubai, AUO. And through that, we got an initial £3.5 million investment. There's a fair portion of that we still have available. And that allows us to push ahead with this transaction and get it closed. Moving forward, we've got AUO with bigger, deeper pockets, which is great. But we've been buoyed by the interest of a lot of uranium funds, both out of Europe and North America as well, which quite surprised me.
But isn't that the difference between your companies and many others in the market, that you have that sugar daddy type backing for them, and therefore rather than investing in other companies on the market which are exploring, developing, where there's a big question mark over funding, people who invest into your companies, they can say, well, at the end of the day, the funding is there. So it's just about developing the right projects, the right strategy, and that sort of it's less of a headache than it is with other situations.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of my peer CEOs, manager directors, whatever you want to call them, they're always looking over their shoulder and thinking, right, where am I going to get the funding to do this next phase of work? We very early on decided that, we wanted to lock that away, remove that uncertainty, so that when investors got involved, they knew that it wasn't going to be, death by a thousand cuts. They knew that we weren't going to be going to, this broker to raise us this at a 20, 25. I mean, I've seen some heavily discounted placements done over the past couple of months. We don't have to do that because we've got the certainty through a series of tranched investments that we have that funding secured, and we just have to deliver on various project outcomes to secure that phase of money. So yeah, we've kind of eliminated a lot of the risk that you get with a number of junior mining companies here in London.
And do you think the market has actually cottoned on to that? Because that is a massive point of difference. I mean, why would you go to any other little miner if you've got a company which is actually fully funded?
You'd think so. But, and I say so, but time and time again, you keep getting people saying, when are you raising money next? When are you raising money next? I think it's very hard for people to change that kind of mentality, that psyche, and recognize that a company is properly funded and they're not going to be going back to the market, like I say, 3, 6, 9 months to do that next phase of work. So you'd think that people would do their due diligence, they'd do their assessment and realize that for junior companies, funding's everything. And if you can tick that off by having a good strategic partner, I prefer strategic partner rather than sugar daddy. Sounds a little bit more
possibly
professional, but come on, it's no. Once you've locked that away, it gives you the ability as well to go about your project development in the right way. You don't have to kind of do some, you know, director's holes, or you don't have to do things. You can go in a straight line. You don't have to go in a roundabout kind of way. With the funding secured, you can move forward in a straight line, and you should be able to deliver your project a damn sight quicker.
So NEO's been the stock market darling of the summer, and hopefully that will continue. What can you tell us about the other companies you mentioned?
Look, Unicorn, I'm here. Unicorn Mineral Resources, standard listed company, been listed just over a year now. Early stage exploration project in Ireland. The board asked me to get involved in an executive capacity to basically give it more advanced projects, cash flow generative projects, and in Africa. And that's where, you know, I'm clearly focused. So we have a general meeting tomorrow, which is a, you know, fairly straightforward process. But clearly we've been advancing due diligence negotiations on a series of projects in Africa. Base metals to be aligned with its existing strategy there in Ireland. So I'm anticipating that over the coming weeks, we'll be in a position where we can announce the next phase of where Unicorn is moving in Africa. So quite excited by that. A lot of work going on in the past couple of months on it. And our team in Africa, quite excited about what's happening. Yeah, a good base metals project, near-term cash flow, and an opportunity to basically give shareholders confidence that value is going to start to come through that share price.
And Marula was one of the stars of, I think, last year. The shares sort of went from, you know, 5p to 15 or something like that. What's going on there?
A lot. As you know, Marula is that battery metals focused company, East and Southern Africa. East Africa, we've got the manganese operations. So we're pushing ahead there. Khalifi is one which we've got to do some modifications to the plant. And then you're producing 10, 20,000 tonne a month of product. And very good grade product. You know, Kanusi, the big copper, where our independent geologists have said there's a 10 to 15 million ton exploration target of 5% copper and other base metals and gold. We've started mining again there now. So Stuart Maremi from Tekela Mining, he's up there. They're mining, stockpiling ore. We're actually moving to a big heap leach operation, which will start in 2025. So that's going to be a big transformation part there. Blesberg, which is the lithium, and lithium was probably one of the poorest performing stock commodities over the past 12 months, easily. We've been approached by the Chinese group that's been taking that initial volume of spodumene, and they want to get involved and look at building on site in partnership with us a leaching plant. So instead of producing that kind of DSO product, we're now going to be producing a intermediary product, a higher value lithium product, lithium sulfate. So we start producing that, we're not selling that at, you know, $1,000 a ton, you're talking hundreds of thousand dollars a ton. So that's a major step forward there, and one where we want to be. You can't just be a producer of raw product, you've got to go up that value chain. You've got to, especially in Africa, you've got to demonstrate that you're there to deliver high value products, generate local employment, and add value, create value all the way through. So Marula is going in the right direction. We've got work starting on the cobalt project. You know, to have a cobalt project outside of the DRC with grades of 5, 10, 15% is unheard of. So work starting there in earnest. Next to Blesberg, we've got the NCLT project, which is a number of tungsten mines. Tungsten, again, probably one of the most critical of critical metals at the moment. So, and I think there's another London listed company that's got a very big project over there in North America, 1/10 of the grade of the sort of material we've got. So we're very buoyed by what we see there. So Marula, a lot happening, but the next quarter and the first half of 2025 is all about cash flow generation, generating profits, and being in a position to grow the business even further.
So you think your companies will get to that production promised land over the next year?
Yeah, look, I mean, Marula, I've said publicly, I want to see us with, you know, 4 or 5 operations producing by the end of this year. You know, you've got Blesberg, you've got the 2 manganese, you've got the copper. There's another project we're looking at, probably one of the highest grade mining operations, given the commodity that it's producing. We're able to wrap that up over the coming months. That'll have another transformative impact on us. So we'll be able to do that very much at Marula. At NEO, you know, the other acquisitions we're doing there, as well as Basin North, Basin South, unlock them and gives us an opportunity with the associated infrastructure to be in a position of producing very, very quickly, probably the next uranium producer. So to be in that position so quickly in a commodity that has such large barriers of entry, I think that's quite significant. And yeah, and with Unicorn as well, clearly the projects we're looking at have to show that we can be a producer within 12 months, and that's what we're looking to do.
A couple of points from that. The clearly with commodities, you know, one day they're up, one day they're down. At the moment, say gold and uranium are the hottest things, and as you said, lithium is in the doghouse. How do you sort of balance what you're looking for, what you're involved in, given the roller coaster of commodities prices? Or you're just focused on, you know, we've got base metals in one company, we've got precious metals in the other. How do you sort of tie those up?
Yeah, each company's got its own very distinct strategy, be it commodity or geography. So Marula is that battery metals focused company, and predominantly they're in East and South Africa. So Tanzania and Kenya, a couple of other neighboring countries as well being considered now, but that's very much those battery metals projects. Neo, clearly uranium focused. And you know, one of the benefits of having a uranium project in South Africa is that it comes with gold. You know, it's very rare that, I think, look, Neo is going to be the biggest uranium company in London with its resources. I think with, you know, between 4.2 and 5.5 million ounces of gold, it's probably one of the biggest junior gold mining companies as well. So that's a big thing. So that's that strategy there. With Unicorn, it's that base metals focus. So we're continuing the strategy of its base metals focus in Ireland, but we're advancing it here to some of the projects in Africa. So each one's got to demonstrate value. Clearly, we're not picking up projects for the sake of picking up projects. It's got to be something that can deliver in the short term. That's probably the most common theme when you look at what I try and achieve. It's, yeah, I'm not an exploration geologist. Yeah, the sort of time frames they have, you know, they're looking for deposits which have been sitting there for, you know, for billions of years, and they get excited when they find one. Yeah, I get excited when I find a project that we can deliver inside of 3, 6, and 12 months to production. That's got to be the focus for us.
Do you think that the market's actually got fatigue in terms of explorers? I mean, there seems to be 3-1, 4-1 explorers versus developers or producers, or maybe 10-1 even. Isn't that, don't you think that's a mistake, being an explorer in this kind of environment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, if you're going down that route, unless you've got a joint venture with a Rio Tinto or, you know, a major, you're always going to be chasing exploration funding. And to be able to secure that, you need to have one hell of a project. So from my perspective, yeah, there's not the market, I guess some of these directors just haven't learned. They haven't learned. You know, you've got to recognize investors these days, they want to see results. They want to see cash flow. They don't want to keep chipping in time and time and time again. You know, all of a sudden they get involved in a company, it's at 20 pence. Next, they're getting asked to put in money at 15, then 10, then 5. You know, I was looking at a company the other day. You know, over the past, 12, 15 months, it's down 95% in value. Yeah, that's shocking performance.
Yeah, and something which could have been anticipated at the start, basically.
That's it. You've got to have, you know, if you're going to be able to get market interest in your stock, and, you know, we're all competing for attention, let's be honest. You know, we're competing for investors' attention. You've got to be able to demonstrate that you're going to deliver something to them. Yeah, and you're not going to be delivering them a request to put more money in at a discount to what they've already put money in. You want them to come in and see that their share price, you know, they're going to get that price appreciation. Okay, very few retail investors, you know, that are looking at junior mining stocks, they're not looking for dividends. You know, they haven't traditionally looked at dividends. They're looking to see that share price go up 1 times, 2 times, 3 times, and in a very short period of time. It's very hard to do that on exploration results these days because people are already 2 steps ahead of them.
Speaking of other directors of other companies, you got your fingers in many pies. Maybe some people like to know how you manage to do all you're doing.
Work hard. That's the only way you get results. You work hard, but you have a good team around you. That's the thing. I think I said it the other day when having an interview with them. You've got to build a team around you. You've got to build a team that's capable across all facets of it. It's not just about the mining engineering or the geology, the processing. It's the media, it's the finance, it's having a core group of people that bring enough differences to the table to make it work. You know, you don't want to be dealing with a board, with a boardroom where people are all going in different directions. Yes, you want to go in the same direction, but you want to have enough differences and input to make sure that you're actually going fast enough. Okay, so for me, you know, I'm enjoying working 12, 14, 16 hours a day. I love it. You know, I actually still get excited about coming into the office and going through all the stuff we're doing with the companies. But unless you've got the people that can support you, forget it. You know, it's not a one-man band. You know, you've seen in all the companies that we've got, we've strengthened with some very good, competent people. And without them, the companies don't go anywhere.
Jason Brewer, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.